His eyes were brilliant with fire, as he answered, "What is the lifetime of a man in comparison to the glory of all this? One might labor 1,000 years and produce nothing in comparison with this. It pleases you then, this slaughter? What a trifling question! It gratifies me, glorifies me, exalts me, all this carnage of battle brought forth by me and my kind. And did you have all this in mind while you were preparing one man to corrupt a nation by his writings?" "Yes. He was the one perfect instrument. None other could have served our purpose so well. Ambitious, dissatisfied, aristocratic, arrogant, unloving in the broader sense, capable of infatuation and hence of disenchantment, and last but not least, with eyes open to the vision."
"The vision of you?"
"Yes. He saw me first in dreams, and admired me, and desired to emulate me."
"And then you spoke to him of beyond man?"
"Yes, and I used the old arguments that women were of small account, that the love of woman stood in man's way, that woman enslaved man unless he enslaved her, that nature was the devil, not the great mother, and so was to be combated as far as possible, that man rose to beyond man by denying all that could influence him, including nature, and by asserting whatever gave him freedom, such as his own superiority to all other beings, his mastery of them, his mastery of his own thought, his mastery of good and evil, of fact and falsehood.
A fine combination of fact and falsehood, that teaching of yours," I said.
"Of course," he answered, "but what would you? Truth alone could never have produced this." And he swept with his long arm the line of battle beneath us.
"And what else did you teach your chosen disciple?"
I asked.
"I taught him all that he taught the world. Whenever he drove a woman's face from his heart, I scored a point and he thought himself nearer beyond man. Whenever he swelled with pride and superiority, I scored a point and he felt himself nearer beyond man. Whenever he read gospels and sneered to himself at the humility of the so-called Son of Man, I scored 2 points, one against him and one against your Christ."
"Thank you," I said, "for enrolling me with the followers of the Crucified One. I am such a follower." He ignored my last remark and proceeded. "I encouraged his wish to produce a new ideal of a leader, a new Christ, an Antichrist, a hard-faced German Christ, who should not win men by love and compassion, but by cruelty and hardening. Oh, I have done that work well. Many a German has exalted my ideal to the place of the Son of Mary. Many a German has put me in place of the Son God, and hailed me as beyond man, though he was too cowardly to herald me frankly as Antichrist. Instead, he added my attributes to Christ and called us by one name, and by that name he sought to destroy all pity and compassion, both in himself and in others, sought to destroy all love that stood in his way of becoming like me. It was I who taught him to exalt the cross as a symbol of cruelty, of sacrifice to himself, and not of himself for the love of man." He paused, and gazed out toward the stars that shone serenely above us.
"You seem to me," I said, "to be yourself conscious of the superiority of Christ to Antichrist."
Again he ignored my remark, and continued the line of his own thought. "What intellectual pleasure it has given me, this transforming of a Christian nation into monsters of egotism and cruelty to all things not their own. The foreigner was to be hated, despised, used, ridiculed, and whenever possible insulted. I taught them that such were the ways of beyond man, that so was man surpassed."
"But why do you tell all this to me?" I asked.
"Why do you thus lay your cards upon the table, when you know that I hold a better hand?" The eyes he turned to me were smoldering lakes of flame.
"Because I envy you," he said.
"Is that some new and more subtle attack upon me and the principles I stand for?" The Dark One laughed again, his sharp and mirthless laughter.
"Frankly, no," he said. "You no longer amuse me as an opponent.
Which means that I throw up the game in weariness, that is, for the present. Already the souls I deluded are weary of me and my teaching. They have seen a new light, some of them."
"Perhaps," I said, They have seen the light of the Christ, the true beyond man. Perhaps, he repeated. And you have seen it, too?
For,
he said. Are you ambitious to convert the devil?
Ah, no.
Suddenly he turned to me. Will you take me for a pupil?
Again, no, I answered.
You will make that request of some good woman, with a better chance of deceiving her. So you know all the tricks. My teacher has taught me much regarding the ways of your kind.
Then I bid you good evening, he said, and disappeared in the darkness.
World for which I write, I am telling you these things that you may be armored with knowledge. When Satan asks you to convert him, beware lest he convert you. When Satan points to beyond man, even to Christ, be sure that his Christ is not Antichrist, be sure he is full of compassion, that his heart bleeds for the woes and weakness of the world, that his crown of thorns is the mark of his sacrifice for man, and not merely a becoming ornament. For, as he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And also, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, for there shall arise false Christs, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. June 2nd. Letter Xylviae. The New Brotherhood. I want to speak of the new race, the coming race. The world is big with child, and the present generation will look with wonder into the clear eyes of the infant that shall redeem its parent. Pin your faith to the standard of the new race, work for it, make the garments that it shall wear, and be ready for its coming. Already you are in touch with those who will help in its training, who will be its teachers and guides. Give yourself also to the great work that is planned for America in the coming days. No, you need not spend all your time there, but do not remain away too long. Come and go, that going away you may receive new impressions, and that coming back you may bring the romance of older lands to entertain and inspire the new land. But be ever loyal to the new. In the untrodden wilderness of America there is strength that shall renew you from time to time. The cities of America will be redeemed by the wilderness. The cities are too worldly. They have forgotten God. In the open air, under the open sky, the message may be received by the awakened soul. Send the children out to the wilderness to drink from the uncontaminated springs. The water that flows through lead pipes may refresh the body, but the water of mountain springs refreshes the soul. Behind the veil of nature is the face of the Great Mother, and though she does not always smile, yet her eyes are full of dreams and mysteries. Nature is not the devil. The devil is ever at war with nature. Nature is Isis, the Mother. Do not listen to the blasphemers. They have confused the offices of Isis and of Typhon. It is Isis, nature, which shall bring forth Horus. Go back to nature and ask her for her message. She waits in the silence of the woods, and the voice of the brook is her whisper. When the wind stirs in the trees, it is the rustling of her garments. The Mother is coming, O children of the new race. In her arms you shall know refreshing rest, and in her eyes you shall read the love that knows no selfishness, the bliss of self-giving. Too long have you dwelt in cities, forgetting the Mother who bore you. Too long have you lived without the magnetism of the kind earth and contact with your naked feet. Too long have you trodden the dead, stony and unmagnetic streets, that take from you but give nothing. Go back to the woods and the streams. Read your destiny in the eyes of the stars themselves, not merely on a printed chart. Jupiter has a message for you which he will give only face to face, and so has the gentle Venus and the eager Mars. Go to them for your lessons, in the quiet of the hilltop alone with the Mother. Do not set up your temple in the marketplace. Let your cathedral be the aisles of the forest. Go to the city when you must, for it is always well to know the opposite. The cathedral is stiller after the voice of the mart. Give honor where honor is due, to those who have led the children forth to learn the mysteries of the primeval life. You grown-ups are only taller children. Dance in a ring round the mulberry bush or round the campfire.
In the smell of burning wood the visions may come, as I wrote you once before of your wood fires in Paris. But what is a wood fire in a Paris great compared with a campfire in the woods? Yes, I was there the other night, on the outskirts of the gathering, and I enjoyed it, too. My greetings to the chief. The salvation of America lies in this wildwood movement. Movement. Well, may you call it that. It is stirred by the very forces of the earth herself, it is inspired by the race spirit, it will go on and on, in ever-widening circles. Whoever puts a stone in the way of this work will stumble over it himself. Whoever brings Satanism into this movement will be devoured by the demonic forces. There will not be enough left of him to grease two sticks for the campfire. Rest you in peace. We watch, and with us the souls of all the thousands and tens of thousands and millions of Native Americans, who cannot go on to their rest until they have passed on the torch of the nature mysteries that were their heritage from their remote ancestors. They must be despised by those who despoiled them, but their forgiveness shall redeem you, O America of the new race. Do you not know that many of those who made their escape into the rest of the happy hunting ground are already coming back to incarnation in the land they loved before? Look at the high cheekbones of many of the children, look at the eagle eyes and the straight taut forms. Oh America, you did a great wrong once in the pursuit of your destiny. Yes, you did. Now strive to atone. Let the reincarnated red children play in the wild woods. Teach them the old code of honor and courage, and they will work hand in hand with the reincarnated souls that came by way of Europe, hand in hand shall they stand together in the Woodcraft Brotherhood. My salutations to the chief. July 9th. Letter Xovii. In the Crucible. I am still profoundly interested in the land that gave me birth. There are dark days ahead for her. And the great soul of Abraham Lincoln is very near to the helm of state at this moment, when peace and war hang in the balance and the action of a day may decide the question. No irreparable injury must overtake this land. It is the great pioneer of race freedom. As I told you months ago, one of America's hands threatens the other, and both threaten the whole body. May she keep peace so long as she can have peace with honor. But if the dark day comes, may she face it with squared shoulders, and if her foes be also those of her own household, it will not be the first time. A man once prayed to be saved from his friends, declaring that he could deal with his enemies himself. The stillness of the Germans in America at this moment is potent with danger. If the hour comes when drastic action is necessary, they should be invited to return into the fold of their naturalization. And those who refuse should be dealt with severely, even to deportation. The EF remains one country which might receive them for transportation to their fatherland they left, in quest of the freedom which they have now abused and betrayed. The world is in the crucible, and Satan is in the laboratory with all his cohorts. Our labor is to stand. It is not always easy to stand steady. Be calm, and trust in the motherland that shall yet give birth to the new race. The synthesis of races. Black magic in America. You have seen pretty clearly the methods employed by the evil forces to balk progress, to destroy the work of centuries, to destroy the workers for the future, and to frighten away those who seek to interfere with this maliciousness. Notice that none of this is constructive work. It is all destructive, tearing down. Wars of construction have been engineered by angels. But this is not a war of construction. Now let me tell you a few of the things against which the new race in America will have to guard itself. As always, where the forces of progress are strong, the opposition is strong. I have written enough about the good influences of this new birth, but I want to give a few warnings, to analyze a few influences which are of a destructive character. There is developing in America a great group of people who seek to gain control of the desire nature and the will of others, that they may use them for their own purposes. These people are not all in one place, they are not organized into one body but into many bodies, and some of them are working quite independently. But in the astral world, and in the language of us who work in that world, they are known as a group. They teach to those that will pay them, either in money or in service, certain rules for controlling the mind of self and of others. They teach the rudiments of astral knowledge to the many, and they teach more advanced principles to the few. Some of their teachings are true, some of their teachings are false, but there are few among them who undertake any real discipline of character with their students. As one profound teacher has said, for every step in psychic development, three steps should be taken in the development of character. I need not name those who are most criminally active in teaching the formulas of black magic to men and women who are utterly unfit to be trusted with that knowledge. The question will naturally arise in the mind of the reader, what is black magic? I think I have given a similar definition before, but you may restate it thus: black magic is an attempt to gain control over the will or the astral or the mind of one's fellows, through means other than the normal physical or the legitimate mental influence by word or pen, be it through the use of elementals of nature, artificial elementals, or one's own mental or elemental nature. Black magic may be deliberately used to influence, or black magic may be deliberately used to injure, and its votaries often employ the substances of the body of the victim, through which to gain sympathetic control of his astral and etheric nature. I want to say to those who think it smart or amusing to fool with these things, beware of any man or of any woman who by normal or abnormal means seeks to get possession of the fluids of your body, especially the blood and the other vital fluids. I shall not go into detail here. Those who accept my warning owe me no thanks, those who disregard my warning do so at their own peril. It gives me no amusement thus to thrust myself between the evil forces and their victims. By so doing I draw down upon myself the rage of those forces that I thwart so far as I can. Be it so. I am competent to deal with them. And I want here to notify anyone who thinks to destroy my work, or to destroy those who with self-abnegation and selfless courage are helping me in the work of trying to save my country from the forces of hell which are now ravaging Europe, I want to notify any evil magician who is interested in this matter, that if he gets in the way of my resolve it will be he who will suffer and not I. The ring which I and the masters draw round our workers can be passed with evil intent only at the peril of the one who passes. This is no threat to use evil magic. We do not use evil magic. But we know how to deflect a malicious current from its chosen victim, so that it returns with overwhelming force upon its own source. And I also want to say to those who in their ignorance or wantonness allow themselves to be used as cat's paws to draw the devil's chestnuts from the fire, that fire will burn, and that the devil's hot chestnuts stick to the fingers. This is an unpleasant subject. I will now leave it. Let me talk to those who are ignorant of these matters, and most people are ignorant, even those who have studied psychism. Many an innocent, or half-innocent, soul has been driven nearly insane by the pressure of the evil thoughts of others, by the will-driven thoughts of others. Let me advise such not further to weaken themselves by fear, but to strengthen themselves by prayer. I have said that there is a God and a devil in every one of you. Turn to the God for protection from the devil. If there were no devil in you, the devils of others could not harm you. Remember that. Set your own devils to serve your own God. If you want to use signs and symbols, meditate on the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is profound enough for a lifetime's meditation. Do not use evil magic to protect yourself against evil magic. Call on the God within to send evil back to its source. Protect yourself before sleep by prayer to your God for protection. The evil workers can sometimes reach your soul in sleep when they cannot reach you while awake. The child's prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep," is more potent than a magician's spells. Childish, you say? Yes, but I am writing now for those who are children in these things, be they 7 or 70. Of all countries on earth, America is the most abysmally ignorant of the dangers of evil magic. Be willing to be children until you acquire adult knowledge of these subjects. "I am in no danger, for I understand these things," is often said with self-gratulation by these who are in the very grip of the evil forces. Truly, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. If you want an added protection, my children, guard your own evil passions and resentful thoughts, your jealous emotions and unkind criticism of others. The devils ride on waves of anger and resentment. Beware also of temptations, remembering that young souls are tempted through their faults, greater souls through their virtues. Be not deceived into saying there is no evil. Evil is, so long as good is. Beyond good and evil is a state to which few of you can aspire, and you have no conception of it. But beyond good and evil is a mighty slogan for the temptation and bewilderment of vain souls. When you are really beyond good and evil, you will not gossip about your neighbors, nor envy them their charm or possessions, nor try to use them for your own ends, nor worry lest some evil person shall do you harm, nor twist your faults till they seem virtues, nor deceive yourself as to your motives. Examine yourselves, my children. Look for your faults. If you can find no fault in yourself, hang your harp on the nearest willow, for your progress is at an end. Man progresses through recognizing his faults, through transmuting them and transcending them. If you are perfect, this world is no place for you. Beyond good and evil, indeed. Judge not, that ye be not judged. But do not flirt with the devil to prove that you judge him not. Yes, all men are your brothers, even bad men. Attend to your own affairs, and leave the issue with God. This much to you, dear children of the world, from my vantage place above your passions. July 25th. Letter L. Things to remember. That the contents of this book may become the possession of those who want it, I will now bring it to a close. One might go on writing forever about the astral incidents of this war, and not exhaust the subject. What I have been able to give is a mere sketch, a few incidents, a few suggestions. These things, however, bear in mind, that there are angels as well as devils in the neighborhood of the battlefields. That those who see the war from above see causes as well as effects, and from those causes can draw sane conclusions based on a richer fund of data than that available to the men of Earth. That war, like everything else, has its rhythms. Do not be discouraged when the pressure of battle bears heavily on the side that you call yours. If your side went forward too quickly, you would need to look for a violent reaction, as in the retreat from the outskirts of Paris. That though evil is a necessity so long as good exists, though evil is the other pole of the magnet, yet it is the duty of those who desire to walk the white road ever to do battle for the right. And this is no repudiation of the saying of the Christ, resist not evil. A paradox, you say? Great wisdom is locked in paradoxes, for those who have the key. The existence of evil gives greater strength to good. This is the Kali Yuga, as the Hindus say. That this war is an attempt of the personal evil forces to destroy mankind. A former attempt was made in Europe before the so-called Dark Ages, but the Renaissance followed and restored a balance. That man has in himself both the Christ principle and the demonic principle. That will is free, and that man can make his choice between them. That new races are born of revolutions and wars. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That though I may have a wider sight than you, I do not know everything. I draw conclusions from premises, the same as you do. I predict the probable effects of causes known to me, but a sudden eruption of free and erratic will sets up a new cause, and my calculation has to be made afresh. My predictions are not the result of divine omniscience. I see further than you, that is all. My logic may be no better than yours. For instance, when we drove back the forces of evil during the early months of the war, I forgot the law of Rith that would enable them to roll forward again when they had generated another supply of strength. Even devils generate their own strength. Yes, they too are units of force, and must be figured on as such. I shall not make that mistake again. My teacher, who stands beside me at this moment, directs me to say that even the masters do not know everything. As my vision is wider than yours, so their vision is wider than mine, but they cannot always see what goes on in the farthest stars. They invite you to become like them, but they know that you are held by rhythmic law, and that for every two steps you take toward them, you will fall back at least one step. That you do not fall back two steps is because of your free will, and because of that greater rhythm which urges mankind to the flood tide. Each achievement is a ripple in a larger wave which you cannot always see. I have been requested to write further of my teacher, but my teacher wishes to remain in the background. I may tell you this, however, O world. My teacher still has a physical body and walks the earth as a man. He works in both the material and the astral worlds, and in higher worlds beyond them, and the purposes of his life are outside your comprehension. He is a servant of the law, and his joy is in working with the law. The black masters, for there are black masters, work against the law. I have told you of my conversations with one of them, and have given you a hint as to his methods. When you are strong, you need not fear the black masters. You may pass the time of day with them, as I do. They are far more afraid of me than I am of them. I do not go out of my way if I see one coming. I find them rather diverting, though I recognize the tragedy of their lot. They fill a terrible office, which must be filled, and their sufferings are great. They are the erring brothers of the white masters. In the beginning they were trained in the same school, but the great moment of choice came, and the evil ones separated themselves from their source. The white masters do not seek to destroy them, knowing that in the end they will destroy themselves. Why waste effort in striving to hurry the sunset? Do not let the black masters and their servants mislead you, and avoid them if you can until you are stronger than they. But when you are stronger than they, you have nothing to fear from them. When they cannot affect you directly, they strive to affect you through those you love. Be at peace. You are not your brother's keeper. If your brother delights in the devil, let him have the pleasure of his preference. Will is free. Give testimony of the truth that is in you, but do not attempt to muzzle the hounds that bay the summons to the witch's Sabbath. Enter the holy temple and shut the door, then invoke the angels. The baying of the hounds cannot drown the music of the angel voices. Be still, and know that God is God. A great day is dawning for America, after a time of trial. The sun will rise from behind a bank of clouds, but in the freshness of the dawn much labor will be done for the new race, and for the brotherhood of races. All over America movements will be started for the training and perfecting of mankind. Give them your help, for thus you will be working with the law. Thus you will be learning the first lessons in the school of the white masters, whose watchword is service. Though I am not going far away this time, yet I leave you my blessing, O world that I have labored and suffered for, far more than you know during the last hard year. And I want to thank the world for its great interest in my former book, Letters from a Living Dead Man. Yes, I am living still, and am far more alive than when I wrote for you before. Little by little I am growing into an intensity of life which I could not have imagined when I walked the earth as a man among men. In these war letters from the other world I have tried to give you glimpses of that intenser life which I lead now, after my return from the journey among the stars. I had thought to tell you of that journey when I should return again, but the story would not have been so instructive at the present time as this story of the war in the astral world. For you are nearer to the astral world than you are to the stars, and until you learn the ABC you cannot read and understand romances. I am only a humble servant of the law, a learner in the school of those who are wiser than I. To get, I must give. To learn, I must teach. To go forward, I must try to bring you forward with me. It has seemed to me that what the world needed most at the present time was a knowledge of the mysteries behind this war. I have been an unseen soldier in this war, in which I have received many a wound. I have had my nights of vigil in my days of labor, but they had given me a strength that I could not otherwise have gained. I am strong because I have served. Serve you, and the reward will come in due season. I am going to rest now for a little while, because I have another service to perform in the near future. I shall not go far away. X. July 28, 1915. The End. This as a backup from same found on earthlypursuits.com/wlldm/withmei.htm.